Our wonderful Springboks have just made history, winning the Rugby Championship back-to-back for the very first time. We are living in a golden era. Today, you are going to get a front row seat to how we pulled off this monumental feat, why our rivals should be absolutely terrified, and the one player who now stands alone as our greatest captain. And you know who agrees with me? Two-time Rugby World Cup champion, Cheslin Kolbe, that's who. You can get your hands on a Cheslin bobblehead figurine for free if you visit the Scoin Shop and make a purchase. South Africa's leading gold coin and bullion retailer, specializing in Krugerrands, rare coins and numismatics. Just like the Springboks, the Scoin Shop is all about world-class quality and heritage. These coins are test match quality, worthy of back-to-back world champions. So why stop at Cheslin? Collect the whole gang and build your winning team. The Scoin Shop has stores nationwide. Now let's be honest, it was a slow start to the competition. We were humbled by Australia in Johannesburg in our opening match. The Box got off to a rollicking start. After 18 minutes, we were 22-0 ahead of the Wallabies. But then we did not score another point. And an hour later, the Aussies had 38 points. Given our less than convincing showing in the July tests against Italy and Georgia, some were very worried. The biggest accusation was the Tony Ball tactic. Some saw it as us throwing the ball around in reckless abandon. And I agree, at times in Joburg it looked like we were trying to play touch rugby. Even Tony Brown himself told Russi in the coach's box that we were overdoing it. The following week, we returned to our DNA, you might say. We overcame a stubborn Australia in tricky Cape Town conditions, 30-22. It wasn't pretty, and it wasn't perfect, but at least we were off the mark. I had a sense all along that the players might have had their minds focused on the two tests in New Zealand. My thinking was that instead of focusing on putting the Italians, Georgians and Australians away, they always had one eye on the All Blacks, and a combination of that Eden Park record weighing on them, some really ordinary refereeing and a lack of composure resulted in us going down in Auckland 24-17. Again, the naysayers were out in full force. There were actually some supporters that were calling for Russi to go. I understand why some wanted Tony Brown to be sacked or Jerry Flannery to be removed and replaced by Jock Nienaber. But calling for Russi's head? Come on, guys. When Russi returned to South Africa in 2018, we were at our lowest point. 18 months later, we were unexpectedly the Rugby World Champions. Russi handed the reins over to Jock Nienaber, but still remained intricately involved, overseeing the 2023 Rugby World Cup triumph. And since then, won the Rugby Championship, Freedom Cup, Mandela Plate, and Qatar Airways Cup multiple times. Now, while all of this was going on, Argentina had beaten New Zealand. They would also defeat Australia, but also lose once each to the All Blacks and Wallabies. That meant that after our win over the Kiwis in Wellington, each team had two wins and two defeats. That had never happened before in the Rugby Championship. It had never been this competitive or this close before. But it would be amiss of me not to talk more about what happened in Wellington. We not only gained revenge for the Eden Park defeat, we crushed the All Blacks in their own backyard, 43-10. Their heaviest ever defeat, and for it to come courtesy of their greatest rivals, us, made it all the sweeter. It is a day that will live long in the memory. A famous victory. The Springboks ran in 6 tries to leave the New Zealanders bewildered. We then came home and battled Argentina in Durban. The first half was very cagey and we were fortunate to be in front. But in the second half, we ran riot. Sasha Feinberg and Gomez Zulu put on a show for the ages as we ran out 67-30 victors and the title was within sight. The Kiwis would beat the Wallabies twice in the ensuing fixtures, and it meant we simply had to defeat Los Pumas in London to secure the title again. It wasn't easy, and it shouldn't have been. The Argentines are a strong team, a proud rugby nation, and they were determined to prove what happened the week before was a fluke. And they did that. We eventually won 29-27, and it meant for the first time in our history, we had won back-to-back rugby championship titles. We also have back-to-back rugby World Cups, as you know. The same applies to the Freedom Cup, Mandela Plate, and Qatar Airways Cup. Not forgetting, we saw off the British and Irish Lions in our most recent series against them. Guys, let's not beat about the bush. We are living in the most successful period of Springbok rugby. Nothing we have ever done compares to this. Yes, we've had success in the past. I readily think of winning 17 in a row in 1997 and 1998. But immediately before and after that, we were struggling. 2009 was a great year for us too, but similarly, in the immediate periods before and after, things were not great. And often, whenever we've looked like we were going to kick on, we would inevitably shoot ourselves in the foot. But this is different. Dr. Russie Erasmus has put in place systems to ensure long-term sustained success. Yes, we will not win every match, and we're not going to win every match by 40 points, as some people are suggesting we should do. That, by the way, is a ridiculous expectation. Think of our performances, but more importantly, think of our results and our consistency. We have now won 28 of our last 33 test matches. Show me when else in history we have done that. And when last our trophy cabinet was so full, the boys in Plattekloof are running out of space. And all of this is going on while we are rebuilding. Doc has been accused of chopping and changing too much, but he is building depth. He is trying to get to a point where injuries to key players won't make any difference. Because if one guy is out of action, then we have someone just as good who can replace him. And don't forget, all of this is also going on while we are trying to change the way we play. The evidence has been there since last year when we were running the ball more. And this is continuing with devastating results in many cases. But it's not just about running. We kick a lot too. But it's attacking kicking. What shall we kick in behind the opposition? Kick into space. Think of Sasha Feinberg and Gourmet Zulu's try in Durban, where he kicked from our halfway line into their 22, into space, and then showed tremendous pace to actually chase it and get to the ball first and go over for a try. Think of how often we kick for territory and how our chasers often win the ball back for us. Edwill van der Merwe, I don't think that man has ever lost a contestable. And he's not even in the team right now. Do you see where this is going? Or just put the opponent under severe pressure. It's also worth pointing out that I do not believe we've seen the best of these Springboks just yet. We were poor and solid against Australia. We were okay and excellent against the All Blacks. We were sublime and fairly solid against Argentina. There is a ceiling to any sports teams, guys. It's a bit of an American way to describe things. They talk about how high this team can go, how far this team can go, and they talk about the ceiling being the limit as to where this team can go. This Springbok team, for me, is nowhere near its ceiling. There is a lot more to come. This team can still improve, and that is a terrifying prospect for the All Blacks, Wallabies, Pumas, Irish, English, and French. For us, it's very exciting. What a time to be alive. And I also want to lavish some praise on our captain Siya Kolisi. Many will refer to Francois Pienaar and John Smith when it comes to the great Bok captains, and take nothing away from them. But for me, Siya now simply has to be recognized as our greatest captain. Siya has the trophies in the cabinet. Kolisi has the victories under his belt. He clearly has the respect and admiration of his teammates. And the inspirational effect he has had on our country speaks volumes. Siya Kolisi is a beloved figure in our country. And I'm so happy for him. He deserves this. But what do you think? Do you agree the Springboks are in their most exciting period and that it's scary to think about what is still to come? Or do you think the box have been lucky of late and there is a big accident just waiting to happen? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I want to quickly encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. The reason I'm looking for your support is because I would love to do this full time and go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under with daily coverage. There are great benefits for my patrons. For example, you can win the brand new Eben Etzebeth biography. You could win the brand new James Small biography that's coming out soon. You can win Springbok gear. You can win yourself. You can get yourself discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online store. You can also win Springbok match tickets. And in addition to all of that, you might be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. You could also get quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok matches, tactics, players, history, and all of those kinds of things. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Zimbabwean. And any support will be greatly appreciated. The link is in the description area below, and I look forward to speaking to you next time.